This is Y Nada Más. A Real Madrid Podcast.
What is going on, everybody? It has been a minute since I have been on this podcast, and I'm going to go a little bit more into explaining what went on, what's going on, and why I've been gone for a little bit. It's been about, I think, something like 6 months since I last did a podcast. I think the last podcast I did was back in February, still of this year, 2023. And then a lot of things happened that made me pull away from the podcast for a bit. And you know, I'll explain it in a little bit, but, the idea is basically just to let you know, is that I'm back in the podcast. The season just started. We kicked off the season with a win 2-0 against the always difficult Athletic Club de Bilbao, in San Mamés, which is always a pretty complicated fixture. And we got it just started at the beginning of the season. Obviously, a lot of stuff has gone on since the last time I did a podcast. I don't even know if some of you are going to be joining me, but either way, the idea is to pull you guys back in little by little and just stay on top of things as much as I can. I have my good friend Trombach. I have my good friend Halal that they're still helping me out. We updated the website a little bit. A couple people have dropped out of the podcast. You know, it's kind of like when I started this whole thing, I had a couple of friends on board, and then I recruited guys like Trombach, and it was all, you know, due to COVID when I first started this thing that, you know, my love for Madrid, I just decided, hey, you know, I'm going to do this, because I had the spare time. But at the end of the day, you know, I have a day job. I have a lot of other things that I'm doing. I don't survive off of the podcast. And listen, guys, if you have never done a podcast before, a podcast is not to say that it's a difficult endeavor, because there's a lot of stuff that you can, you know, but there's a lot of people that dedicate their lives to podcasting. And, you know, if you want to dedicate your life to podcasting, you know, if you want to dedicate your life to streaming and all that kind of stuff, and it's a hard thing, man. It's not easy to do. It's not easy to do, because as somebody who's a content creator, and listen, I create content. So my day job consists of creating content, but it's for a brand that's not mine. It's a cruise line. It's a multi-million dollar company. And my job is not only to, I mean, I don't solely create content for them, but I manage content for them, and I manage kind of other things that go on there. So it's, you know, so kind of like, it's a little bit difficult sometimes to come back from work, and then after what you've been doing the entire time is, you know, your day job, and then to come on and jump on and do a podcast and go through editing it, sound checking, doing graphic design for Instagram, doing graphic design for Twitter. And I had a graphic designer before, and he's still with me sporadically. And then I had an editor before, and you know, that he dropped off because, you know, his life got back to normal after COVID and things started kind of picking up. And, you know, everyone's kind of been up and down. But now everything's sort of, now it's 2 years in, it's back to normal. People are actually going back to work. And I mean, obviously they've been back to work for quite some time now, but you know, a lot of people that used to be hybrid are not hybrid anymore. You know, things have been moving back into the office setting. You know, so it's been a bit, a lot of changes. And plus, listen, guys, man, I'm getting older. You know, you can see here if you're watching the video. Oh, before we get into all that, subscribe, hit the subscribe button on YouTube. We have a YouTube channel, so you guys can hit the subscribe button. It's at Y Nada Más Podcast on YouTube. We are on Facebook at Y Nada Más Podcast. We are on Twitch at Y Nada Más Podcast. We are also on, well, Twitter, which is now X, but I still have the logo for Twitter because, you know, I can't get down with this X thing yet. We have our website, ynadamas.net, in addition to being on Instagram at YNM Podcast. Because the great people at Instagram banned my video highlight at one point, and they just banned my account. So now I had to go to YNM Podcast, even though thankfully now La Liga is allowing people to have, I guess if you can share at least the highlights that La Liga provides, which is great. But I wouldn't, you know, reshare them on Instagram unless you want you to get your stuff like knocked off or whatever. So anyway, at YNM Podcast on Instagram. So back to my story. You know, guys, if you want to be a content creator, you have to be consistently on top of this thing over and over and over again. And, I mean, consistent, you have to be, if you're going to be doing once a week, which is what I try to do, you know, it's going to be, that's one thing, right? But then there's people who do, if you want to be a content creator, it becomes a job. Essentially, you want to have to do, you know, if you're going to do something every single day, trust me, it's going to become a job where you're doing it every single day. Even at a week, it's sometimes difficult for me because I got two kids, I got a wife, you know, we want to go out for the weekend, we want to do stuff like that. And especially during a football season, you know, and where there's Champions League and there's Copa del Rey and all that kind of stuff, you really end up covering a lot more. And with no help, essentially now, you know, it's going to be a little bit more difficult for me. But the idea is to keep up at least with the once a week podcast. So sometimes I'll have to, I think the majority of the time, what I'm going to try to do is I can't jump on it right after the game, but I am just going to sum up, let's say if there's a Champions League game or a Copa del Rey game during the week, and then there's a game on the weekend, you know, I'll talk about two games in that. So really the idea is just keep on going, keep on flowing. And if you guys want to follow, you know, I'm going to keep on trucking. It's something that I like to do. It's, you know, I think it keeps my creativity fresh, you know, for my other stuff that I do. And at the end of the day, man, I love Real Madrid and I love the team. So, and there's so much going on right now. It's, you know, so to jump right into Real Madrid, you know, what's going on with the team. I mean, since I've talked to you guys, obviously the likes of Benzema are gone. The likes of Marco Asensio are gone. With all due respect to Marco Asensio, but I don't think he was at his best anymore. And I don't think he was really adding anything at that point to our team. Although he had a better season, I think, last season. But, you know, but the biggest one is obviously Benzema. Benzema leaving was a heartbreak for a lot of us. And I think especially for me, because, some of you guys are a little bit older that listen to the podcast and have had, you know, have our older fans of Real Madrid. But, you know, if you grew up in the Cristiano Ronaldo era, you know, and then with Benzema and even before Benzema, you know, and then, you know, I've been here since essentially Raul and Zidane and all these guys played for the team. You know, that was my generation when I first started watching them. But when I really jumped into it, really, the BBC was a huge part of it. And now this is a young crop of players. Who knows what's going to happen? I don't even want to get into Mbappe. Honestly, I feel like Mbappe at this point is the most toxic individual there is in football. I have no idea what's going on. And it's not only the toxicity of Mbappe, of not making a decision and saying one thing one day and making it seem like he wants to be at Real Madrid, but and dragging things along. But then it's also, you know, it's kind of infuriating, of course, that our board keeps on playing this game with him where it seems like, I don't know, it seems like this Mbappe doesn't really want to come here. And even if he does want to come here, he thinks he can just come here at his own delight because, you know, he's a talented player. But at the end of the day, Madridismo, I think, reigns. And I'd rather have a player that really legitimately fights as much as he can to be here and play for us than somebody who's, you know, to use an old term, you know, wishy-washy, essentially doesn't really know what he wants, you know, and at this point, or is just going to follow the money. And there's a lot of money going there at PSG. But that team is, for me, you know, Paris Saint-Germain is a team that is just done and dusted at this point. I think, you know, sure, they're going to bring in the likes of Gonçalo Ramos and like, you know, from Portugal, from the Portuguese national team and from Benfica. They brought in, obviously, the likes of Marco Asensio. They have Ashraf Hakimi. They have some talented players there. Berratti's now gone. And Neymar looks like he's on his way out, also going to Al-Hilal into Saudi Arabia. And, you know, this is another development, of course, since the last time I talked to you guys, which was this whole Saudi Arabian thing, which is now like all of a sudden they've taken on, you know, just a huge amount of players, you know, that are talented players. In addition, from, you know, you have Benzema, you have N'Golo Kanté, you have Riyad Mahrez, I think Verratti, even Jordan Henderson, for God's sake, for this Jordan Henderson left Liverpool. Steven Gerrard is now coaching. I forgot the name of that team, but there, that's another team there. You know, Eduardo Mendy, Koulibaly, all these big names have gone over there. Brozovic, a very talented, obviously, midfielder from the Croatian national team and from Inter Milan. Brozovic is now there. Milinkovic-Savic went to Al-Hilal. And there's just a whole group of people that are going there. And if you've been following the Saudi Arabia story for quite some time, obviously, you know, you, at least in America, you know that what happened with the PGA and with LIV, and that they essentially, at this point now, I guess, own the PGA. They're big money players, man, in the game. Now, I'm sort of at a divide between this thing, you know, when it comes to all this, because I really hate how football has become this sport where it's just money go, you know, players are going to the highest bidder and everything like that. And you're just playing such a, you're seeing such a ridiculous amount of money being thrown at players, you know, when we have obviously crazy things going on all over the world. You know, unfortunate things all over the world going on, and you have just this insane amount of money. And it's not just Saudi Arabia. I mean, you know, at first I was kind of sour about it because I was like, you know, who are these guys coming in and playing? But then you start to see a lot of things popping up, like a lot of racism popping up and a lot of like just stupidity, because you praise players for coming to the MLS, which is not another, it's not a great league either. I mean, look at what Messi's doing right now in the MLS. If anything, for me personally, I mean, I'm here in Miami. So, you know, I was taking my kids to games, to Inter Miami games. And it was like $30, $40, $50, $70 to go to a game, at the max $100, to go to a game. And, you know, and we could all, you know, my son, my two sons and I, so I'd take them, and I wanted to grow like this sort of grassroots thing, you know, and it was nice, you know, but obviously the team wasn't doing well at all. And so they decided to bring Messi in, and Messi brings with him an entire army, essentially, of just fans that are just Messi fans. They're not Inter Miami fans. They're people that never cared about football in the first place. And now they're jumping on the bandwagon, and you're seeing tickets go for $1,000 or $500 a pop or $600 a pop or whatever. And it's now like, the fans that started out at the grassroots, we're not going to go to those games, man. Like, even if I had the money to pay, like, I could probably swing $200 a ticket, you know? But would I want to? You know, I mean, obviously $200 a ticket, I'm not going to try to say like I'm some sort of rich guy, because I'm not. I could definitely swing $200 a ticket if I really, really, really wanted to. It would put me, it would be a not a smart decision on my part to put $200 down for an Inter Miami game just to watch Messi run through defenses and make this league just look terrible, because that's what I think he's doing. He's making this league. This league is not a league for Messi. You know, this league is what he's going to do is he's going to bring this entire group, this entire circus that he brings with him. And then it's not just Messi, obviously. It's you know, if Cristiano Ronaldo came, he would bring, you know, a bunch of people with him as well. But this league, that you could just tell, I mean, just the way he's running through, and the season hasn't even started, but they're doing like the League's Cup, right? All this stuff that's already happened, like him just with ease running through defenders and things. And not only that, I mean, there's already been discussion, because when you look at Busquets playing on the team, when you look at a player like Busquets, who's used to, you know, having milliseconds on the ball, if not milliseconds on the ball, to make a decision, and he was very good at making those split second decisions before. Now you look at him, and nobody presses him. So essentially, that guy, who is, you know, a guy who knows how to pick out a pass. And Messi too, essentially, guys that know how to pick passes out in split second with split second, you know, decisions and accuracy. Now nobody's pressing them. They have more than 2, 3, 4, 5 seconds to make a decision, more than 10 seconds sometimes, because no one's doing anything. The defense is that bad. Picking out passes, to make runs into the box and make every defense look like absolute garbage, because that's the level. Not that they're garbage, it's just not a high level of football. It's not the football that they're used to. And if anything, I think they're just making the league look, you know, are they going to improve the league? I don't know, two players? Are they going to improve the rest of the league if they're just going to run over everybody? I don't know, man. To me, it just, it doesn't make any sense. I mean, Saudi Arabia, does it make a lot of sense to me? No, it doesn't make sense to me either. But now you're starting to see bigger and bigger players. So there's like a large influx of quality players from Europe going to the Saudi league. And I think that's obviously going to boost the quality there. But, I look at these other pundits, you know, whether they're pundits from England or they're pundits like Men in Blazers, who has the MLS so far up their ass, dude, like, and all they do is just like crap on the Saudi league and crap on Cristiano Ronaldo and then just sing the praises of everything Messi does at Inter Miami and MLS. And you think to yourself, you know, what are they really looking at? I remember them posting like just not, it's just kind of like a weird, Rio Ferdinand brought it up the other day too, like, you know, and I'm going to get off this point in a few seconds, but because I don't want to just focus on something that doesn't have to do with Real Madrid, but it's been a while since we talked, right? So just kind of wanted to let you know where my thoughts are. But this whole thing is just ridiculous to me because Rio Ferdinand said, like, look at all the what the media does when it comes to MLS, and then look what the media does when Messi is going to MLS, and look at what the media does when Ronaldo goes to the Saudi league. Obviously, it's because it's not the West. It's not an English-speaking country. It's not, I'd hate to play the racism card, but I think it is there. They're not white, you know, they're brown, and it's a different country, and it's Muslim, and it's they like to call it like this, you know, backwater league essentially. But then you and they're unfairly posting sometimes clips of, you know, terrible plays that are made in the Saudi league. But then you see in the MLS, there's like what the other last few games, I think there's been like three or four own goals scored on, you know, in decisive games in a league cup, like in a quarterfinal, there's been, you know, tons of own goals happening. It's a joke. It's a joke to shit on one league and then praise another when really neither are up to snuff as of yet. And I would think, honestly, that with the amount of talent that the Saudi league is bringing into their teams, they're going to be in a lot more exciting league to watch than the MLS is going to be. You know, at least from my perspective, that I've been following football for so long. Obviously, like, sure, if you want to look at a grassroots and you want to be an MLS fan and say, oh, you know, I'm here because we're building everything from the bottom up. I mean, yeah, okay, sure. I like it too. I mean, I was taking my kids to Inter Miami games, but the quality is not good. I mean, let's be real. The quality is not good. I mean, I'm not saying I'm a fantastic player or I was ever a great player. I'm not. I'm just a guy sitting behind a computer with a regular job, you know? My claim to fame before was that I boxed people. Maybe I've been hit in the head too much, you know, but that's it. That's my only, you know, my sport background was completely different than football, but football has always been my passion. And the thing is, you look at the MLS and you look at the Saudi league and you're like, no, well, neither one is really, you know, crazy amount of quality. But like I'm saying, with the amount of the influx of quality that's being injected into the Saudi league right now, I really see that they're going to, I mean, long-term, is it going to last? Well, that remains to be seen. But with the MLS long-term, I would love to see in a couple of years, maybe in 2 years when Messi's gone from Inter Miami, I can, you know, I can afford to take my kids again to a game and we'll build something from the grassroots back up again. Because we've already seen when Messi gets subbed off, people are leaving the stadium. Terrible look already. Yeah, they got millions of followers on their Instagram, but where are those people going to go? We saw them all show up when Messi arrived. When Messi leaves, where are they going to go? Let's say Messi gets a franchise in the MLS, which I think is something that he might get, or maybe they'll stay because he becomes, you know, part of Inter Miami, because I could see him sticking around here in Miami since it seems that he loves it and his wife wants to be here. I can understand they might stick around for that. But what if he decides to open a franchise and go somewhere else? I guarantee you that the 15 million or 10 million or whatever, 9 million fans that he added to Inter Miami are going to go follow him. They're going to follow his new team. And what's going to happen when he's no longer a player? Like, people aren't, you know, he's no longer playing anymore. You can't be wowed by the things he does on the pitch. Are people going to necessarily stick around, or are they going to stick around for the new, you know, the new guys that are coming up? Are they going to stick around for the Mbappes and the Haalands of the world? And, you know, when Cristiano Ronaldo and Messi, you know, obviously at some point hang their boots up, because they're going to hang their boots up sooner rather than later, actually. I think it's right around the corner, essentially. And there's going to be, and football is going to continue. And you're going to see, is the MLS going to be able to, I mean, did Beckham move the needle as much when he played? Did Rooney move the needle? Did Pirlo move the needle? Did David Villa move the needle? Did, who else came here? Frank Lampard, Thierry Henry. A lot of people have been here in MLS. And while it's grown, it's still not, it's not on par with European's top leagues, you know? So I'm wondering, with after this Messi saga ends, and, you know, Busquets and Messi and Barcelona Jr. eventually stops being, and it just goes back to being Inter Miami with the likes of, I don't know, Robert Taylor and what's this other guy, Joseph Martinez? I mean, obviously he's not going to be there forever either. I mean, is there, are people going to still follow them? I will, because they're local and I want to catch some football and, you know, build it, like I said, build something from the ground up. But am I under the illusion that that is the greatest football of all time? Am I telling my kids that that's what? No, I'm a Madridista. The football, the greatest football for me is the one that I see that's played at the Bernabeu, you know, or wherever the team goes. So anyway, those are my thoughts on that whole thing. To talk about Real Madrid, you know, 20 minutes in here. To talk about Real Madrid, obviously there's a, you know, a lot of stuff has happened. Like I said, Benzema is gone. We, unfortunately, it's been raining. We're already talking about Mbappe. I don't even want to talk about him anymore. I think I didn't trust him from the beginning when he started talking about coming to Real Madrid. At this point, I'm wondering, sure, you would like to have somebody on your team, but do you really want to sacrifice the for me, the chemistry that I feel like this team has for some guy who's a prima donna, some guy who's a absolute diva at this point? I wouldn't want it. Would I be happy if Mbappe comes? Of course, because we're going to win things and it'll be amazing. But am I soured on him? I'm soured on him completely. And I don't really care much if he joins or not. I'll celebrate the goals and everything, but he's long gone from being a player that I respect and love, you know. I might change my tune if he does end up coming and, you know, wins a lot of trophies for us and just completely, you know, turns things around. But at this point, it doesn't seem like that's going to happen, and I wouldn't hold my breath for it. And I think we so many of you guys have posted on Twitter and or X now, formerly known as Twitter. So many of you guys have posted and, you know, and talked about how it's just so sad that we've been caught up in this Mbappe saga for what, 3 years now, or 2-3 years now. And what's happened? Nothing. And we haven't, now Benzema has gone. Harry Kane went to Bayern and he was an option for a number nine, for a world-class number nine. Lewandowski's obviously at Barca. Mbappe, like I said, isn't coming. Who else would you have? Who else could you possibly get? I mean, there's guys like Vlahovic. Gonzalo Ramos is too young, and he went to PSG. You know, the options. Really, we could have gotten Kane. We could have gotten Haaland before. I think Haaland wanted to come here at one point, and we decided to focus all on Mbappe. And so there's this maybe in 2024. And the thing is that everyone, they're talking about waiting until 2024. And in 2024, aren't we getting Endrick? And we're getting and then Haaland has supposedly that clause in his contract that'll let him come to Real Madrid at some point. I don't know. And at that point, do you even want Mbappe after so many things that he's done to this club? Would you even fight for this guy anymore? Man, let somebody else show up. Some other diamond in the rough. I'd rather build this team up from zero and just keep it with our boys. But I mean, we need a number nine. Obviously, Joselu isn't you know, I know a lot of people are going to hate on it because, you know, it isn't enough. You know, our board, and I know Florentino, as much as I love Florentino, and I'm not going to say bad things about Florentino, because this, some people, whoever badmouths Florentino is crazy, because this club wouldn't be what it would be without Florentino. I mean, part of the reason is because he was so cutthroat for so long, and now he's getting older, and he, you know, he wants his guy. He got fixated on Mbappe, and it's been at his own detriment and the detriment to the team and to us as fans that we've been focused on this one guy who really hasn't shown that he wants to come here. You know, I prefer the guys that want to come here. I prefer the Valverdes, the guys that, you know, I love Valverde, his passion, his intensity, that he wants to be here. Camavinga, Tchouaméni, the guys who, you know, made, we know from the press, you know, moved mountains. Jude Bellingham, my God, give me 100 Jude Bellinghams rather than Mbappe. Give me Jude Bellingham all day. That kid, his attitude is absolutely spectacular. You know, I can't wait to see what, you know, based on, you know, he looks like he's going to be very talented. And unfortunately, you know, he's another guy on our injury list. But Arda Güler, give me those guys that really want moved to come here. Vinicius, Rodrigo, these guys that have always shown a passion for Madrid. Because that's what Madrid has always done, is look for guys who had Madridismo. And I like that feeling. I would rather us fill the team with guys that maybe aren't, well, I mean, we want world-class players, but I'd rather have really good guys, not even world-class, but really good guys, but that are all full of Madridismo and know how to play together as a team and have chemistry, because I think those guys would do better than, you know, a team full of prima donnas. I mean, essentially that's what PSG became, and we saw how they did. They're no loyalty, whatever. We're just going to come and try to create some super team. And you just don't, we've already seen in football, it's 11 guys. You can't try and fill the team with 11 different, you know, massive egos and expect to win things. And we've already seen that failed. So now with Madrid, I like the core, the group that we have. I love these guys. I love these young kids that are hungry. We saw it the other day. What a fantastic game from, I mean, they were nervous at the beginning. I was just saying, you know, on X, on Twitter, essentially I was talking about how they were nervous. We starting with this, you know, we're now in this, playing this 4-4-2 diamond formation, essentially with Bellingham in that number 10 role, wearing the number 5 like Zidane, moving like a young Zidane, you know, and he's spectacular. He does a lot of things, and he's fighting for the balls, and he's going back and making tackles and then making crazy runs from the defensive third, you know, from the defensive third all the way to the attacking third, trying to make passes, trying to, you know, put balls into the path of Vinicius or Rodrigo. I mean, he's amazing. He's a fantastic player. And then, you know, Vinicius, I think, is struggling, obviously, to play that striker role and be more central when he's been so used to being, you know, that really real, that left winger that plays really running up and down the sideline and essentially cuts in. That's what he likes to do. That's the type of player he is. And he's, you know, without a combination with Benzema and those 1-2 touches with Benzema in the middle, we're seeing him sort of not adjusting well to the position yet. Ancelotti, as much as Ancelotti says that he is, but I think, you know, obviously he's just, you know, playing to the press and essentially playing to us to kind of keep us calm. But I mean, it's been evident to see that Vinicius hasn't, you know, really adjusted to that position yet. Do I think he can possibly do it? 100%. I think Vinicius can do anything he wants. And I think he will, but I think he needs to wake up a little bit, because that last game, he wasn't at his best. But then again, he's playing in a position that is not his favorite. And I think we can always, the good thing about having somebody like Joselu is that we can always move to that 4-3-3 formation in different parts of the game. And then you can bring in somebody like Joselu, who I think people aren't giving him enough credit. I mean, yes, he's not the greatest, but he's definitely better than Mariano. He scored, you know, he's played, he has experience in La Liga. He has that Madridismo. He's a guy that played last season and scored, what was it, 15 goals for Espanyol, which was a team that wasn't doing well, and he was still able, and was not, you know, they end up getting relegated, and he was still able to pull out, you know, 15 goals with that team. So I think he can really do something. I mean, he showed it. He showed it the other day. He got that acrobatic goal against, what was it, Manchester United, scoring the overhead kick in the preseason. I think he's an asset, but he can't be our only option at number nine, essentially, you know. And at this point, I don't think we're going to get a number nine, guys. So we're going to have to deal with what we have, unfortunately, because the only other number nines out there are what? Like Vlahovic, Firmino already left. And these are just guys that I would say are stopgaps. They're not, you know. The only other guy that I would say that I would really love, and that's because I'm a Napoli fan, is Osimhen, you know. So I would bring in Osimhen 100%. And I became even more of a Napoli fan because I went to – part of the reason I wasn't here in doing the podcast is I went to Italy. I've been working on a huge project for my company, and then I was in Italy for 3 weeks, a little over 3 weeks. And, you know, I was in Naples, and, you know, it was so crazy, so palpable to see – that passion that I've always liked Naples, Napoli as a team, but to go there and see the passion of that city, you know, for their team, for football, for, you know, for Maradona and all this stuff, it's so, so crazy to see the passion that they have. And Osimhen is a killer, you know. And I would love to bring somebody like Osimhen to our team. I think he would be a huge asset, but we're not going to be able to get him, because we focus so much time on Mbappe. And so that's where we're at right now. And we're going to have to play with this. And then, we lost Thibaut Courtois. I mean, I haven't even brought it up yet, but that's the other sad thing. We lost Thibaut Courtois. We lost Eder Militao. I don't know. I mean, but we looked after the young guys. We were nervy in the first 30-odd minutes, at least I feel, for the first half in that game against Athletic. Fran Garcia was, you know, giving away possession. He was losing the ball. You could tell he was nervous. But then he looked great in the second half. The team really came together in the second half, but they were doing better defensively. I mean, not conceding, I think, was a big thing for us. I mean, not conceding goals. And I think Rudiger has actually, you know, been showing better quality as of late towards the end of the season and in preseason than Militao was. Not that I wish Militao any, you know, obviously anything to happen to him. And, you know, I hope he recovers quickly, because he definitely is a huge asset. But thankfully we have guys like Rudiger and Alaba and Nacho to back up defensively. The right back is still going to be a difficult position, although I saw Carvajal and he's playing fit, but he looks fit and he's playing well. But if you lose Carvajal, who do you have in that position? What do you have? Who do you have in that position? Lucas Vazquez? Bro, Lucas Vazquez, I have a love and hate relationship with him. I like him because of how he is and his attitude with Madrid. But as a player, oh my God, man, he drives me insane. You know, he runs up the sideline, he runs up that right wing, and I just swear he swings and crosses that don't do anything. It's almost like, and then when you have him and Mendy on the pitch, it's like two guys that absolutely don't offer you anything attacking-wise. Rarely do they do. Lucas Vazquez has a game every once in a while. Mendy has fallen off in quite some time, as much as I liked him when he first came. But Fran Garcia, man, I mean, this kid is definitely somebody that I'm happy that we're going to have on this team. And, you know, as backup, Mendy defensively is going to help. But, you know, offensively, he's not going to help us there. And then in the middle of the pitch, I mean, we have just an abundance of quality, an embarrassment of riches, as they say, or an abundance of riches. You know, we just have so much quality, whether it's Camavinga, Tchouaméni, Valverde, Bellingham, and then you have your two veteran players in Kroos and Modric. And one of the things I think taking away from this game that we had against Athletic Bilbao, one of my feelings that I did have when I was watching these guys is that you had all these young guys on the pitch, say for Carvajal. So you had all these young dudes on the pitch playing for Real Madrid, first game of the season. They're all nervous. You know, and there's nobody to calm him down. There's no leader on the pitch, because Carvajal, even though he's wearing the captain armband and he's the most veteran player at that time, you know, he's not like, for me, he's not like a vocal leader. You know, he's not a vocal leader like a Casemiro, a Modric that, you know, like will like start yelling at players and try to tell them like, hey, what are you doing? And that kind of stuff. Even though Modric obviously is a little bit more shy, he's not like a yeller, like an imposing figure, but you know, his talent speaks for itself and his legend speaks for itself and people respect that. I think really the, from a leadership role, you're going to need somebody like a Toni Kroos on the team. For me, at least in the starting 11, you're going to need somebody like that, at least until these guys get a couple more games in. I would rather start with at least, you know, a Carvajal, of course, being our star right back, at least our best right back at the moment, would need to start. So he's a veteran, he's a veteran player, but you need somebody else veteran and you need somebody in the midfield. And that would be Kroos for me. You need a little bit more of that leadership and that calm there, because there was a lot of nervousness going on, and somebody like him will kind of calm everybody down a bit. But there's no longer like a Sergio Ramos. There's no longer a Benzema. There's no longer a Cristiano. There's no longer a Casemiro like leading those lines. You know, you had these imposing figures in the defense when it was Sergio Ramos, you know, keeping the line in check. Then you had in the midfield, you had three guys that were veterans and could keep the line in check, like essentially like Kroos, Modric, and Casemiro. And now you need to have at least one of them there. Bellingham, I think, has a great head on his shoulders. So I think he's going to show his leadership qualities pretty quickly. But still, we got to remember the kid's only 20, you know. And then leading the line, leading the attack, essentially you only have really Rodrigo and Vinicius. So you're not really going to have that leadership now in the attack. They're going to have to bring it. They're going to have to step up. And that's kind of the scary part. I think there's a lot of youthfulness. There's a lot of things that excite me about the team, but the depth scares me. The depth scares me for sure now, especially now that we don't have Courtois in goal. There's talk of Kepa coming. There's talk of Bono coming. I think they've decided on Kepa. No, I don't know for sure. But at this point, you know, no one's going to be able to replace Thibault. So whether it was Bono or Kepa, although I would prefer Bono, you know, if Kepa comes in and Lunin, I mean, I think we need, I thought Lunin did a pretty good job, even though he wasn't tested like a great amount. But I think it's really, he hasn't been given a lot of minutes. So, you know, we have to give guys like that time to develop. And I think he can do some stuff if he's given minutes. And is he going to be Thibaut Courtois, you know, equivalent? No, of course not. But can he eventually, you know, can he save us from a lot of problems? Sure. And if the defense is on point, like they were the other day, I think we can do something. We can, you know, make some waves. But I think this season is going to be a tough one. This season is going to be a tough one, especially with these losses. And it depends. I mean, with these losses of important players, like, of course, like Militao and Courtois. And really just up in the air to see what we're going to be able to do with this young, hungry team, talented team for sure. As they get more minutes and as they develop, are we going to see them, you know, solidify and really, you know, wow us and take things to a whole new level? I think it'll happen. So I really think there's a lot of opportunity there to kind of like, you know, show, you know, for the talent to show and really come out and grow and like solidify. And as they get more minutes, I think they're going to get rid of those cobwebs. They're going to get rid of that feeling of everything being so new. And then I think you're going to see them develop into a quality team. And I'm excited, but I think this is really the year of turnover, essentially. Now that Benzema is gone, this is really the year that this rebuild, essentially, of these young guys, it has to show fruits, you know? And we need a number nine. I'm not saying we don't need it. I it's horrible that we don't have one. Besides Joselu, we need somebody else. And the whole Mbappe saga just destroyed everything, because I would have preferred Harry Kane, man. I'm one of those guys that wanted, I was kind of excited about the prospect of Kane coming to Real Madrid. I think the guy has a good head on his shoulders. I think he's hungry to win trophies. That's what he wants in his life. He's going to guarantee you goals. He's a natural goal scoring talent. He's a fighter, man. And he did what he did with Tottenham of all teams, you know, but he was never going to win anything with them. And if you give him the quality service that he needs, he's going to score. So I really think that that was the choice. I would rather have a number nine than a winger than Mbappe. But if we get Mbappe, great. But I still, you know, I don't know. I would rather, you know, I'd rather Haaland come because I think we need an out and out number nine more so than we need a guy who's really a winger that we're going to convert into a striker, you know? So I don't know what's going to happen. I really don't know what's going to happen. There's so many question marks on this team. And right now, things started off well, and hopefully they continue well. They didn't start off well for Barcelona, which is always a good thing, and always good in seeing them kind of get flustered. And Getafe is just a psychotic team, I swear. They're like the serial killers of football. Bordalas just develops these guys into just the lumberjacks. All they're doing is hacking at people, and they don't really play football except hacking at people. And it's a really annoying thing to see. Although, I mean, defensively, and sometimes that's how people like to play the game, and that's the tactics that people like to play and use it. I mean, I have no problem with defensive football. I'm a fan of Serie A. Aside from being a Madridista, I'm a fan of Serie A, and I don't mind Catenaccio and all that stuff, but Catenaccio is more about good, solid defending and, you know, it was about good, solid defending and locking everything down, not about being like an animal and beating the shit out of people, because that's what Getafe like essentially does. And really the refs were letting them get away with bloody murder, even though I didn't mind, obviously, that Barcelona was the one. But we're going to have to play these guys too, and they're going to try to do the same crap. And we have a lot of young players now that can get dragged into stupid antics. So you definitely need more experience there for the guys to keep good head on their shoulders, you know, when they're getting roughed up and things like that. Because if not, you know, you're going to have red cards all day. So, like I said, the season is starting out well. We're going to have starting out at least in a positive note with the result, 3 points against Athletic. The season isn't starting well from an injury perspective. You know, we have, like I said, we lost Thibaut, we lost Militao. God forbid we lose anybody else. Hopefully, knock on wood, that doesn't happen. And hopefully these guys recover a little bit quicker and they come back and they're just as good. But it's not going to be for some time. Goulet, I think, is out for, what is it, something like 6 weeks? So hopefully we can see him, but he's still young too. So it's still all very new. Like the two guys that we lost are, not to say veterans, but, well, Thibaut is a little bit more, but Militao is a little bit younger, but still, you know, he's already a veteran on our squad and somebody that's important to the team, especially when it comes to depth in our defense. So it's really just starting out very, even though it's good in the results wise, it's going to be nervy. We're all nervous. All of us Madridistas are nervous to see what's going to happen. And we want to see some more movement from the board, possibly getting us some sort of backup, maybe giving us a number nine I would take Vlahovic. I think he was great with Fiorentina. I don't think he had a great season with Juve, but I think he's a solid player. He'd be interesting to have. Obviously he's, you know, people, do you want to make the same mistake that we made with Jovic and guys like that? But Vlahovic is more of your out and out number nine. He's a physical guy. He's a tall guy. He's got quality too. But we'll have to see what's going to happen. So with that said, guys, I'm going to cut this one short a little bit because it's been a while since I've talked to all you, and I don't want to drag on about everything, but really, you know, yeah, I'm really happy to be back on the podcast. And, you know, here's the outro. Sorry, but really, it's good to be back. So essentially, you know, just follow us on, follow me, follow the team here at Inada Mas as we try to get back into the swing of things, the swing of the season. Like I said, now I'm kind of a one-man show when it comes to designing and editing and all that kind of stuff. When it comes to the podcast, I'm editing it, I'm designing it, I'm doing everything. Obviously, I'm going to bring in guys like Halal. I'm going to bring in guys like Trambach to join me on the show. I'm also going to bring in, you know, write me at info@inadamas.net if you want to join the show as a just jump on and talk. At this point, I think what I'm going to do is I can only have kind of like one at a time, or essentially you might be able to have up to three people. I'm also thinking about doing some live streams of, like, you know, reaction videos where I follow the game along live, and we can watch it live and just stream it. See kind of if I can build a following there on YouTube. So make sure to follow me on YouTube. Subscribe to the channel there on YouTube at Inada Mas Podcast on YouTube, at Inada Mas Podcast on X, Twitter, at Inada Mas Podcast on Facebook, and on Instagram at YNM Podcast. And then also we have our website, which is inadamas.net, which I once again said we updated. You know, it's a little bit different of a layout now, and hopefully it's a little bit easier for you guys to navigate. Once again, please subscribe to the channel, guys. It's super important for us to, in order to build this community. You know, keep following me, keep commenting. I'm always commenting on Twitter or X, whatever the fuck it is, man. I'm tired of having to say that. But I'm always commenting there. That's my thing. That's what I, you know, that's kind of where I'm always at. So you can see me there. And then I'm posting things now on the Instagram when I can. And I'm going to try to keep it up to date as much as I can. But like I said, I'm a one-man show right now. But hey, man, if you want to help me out, if you want to join this kind of crazy little team that we have, from wherever you are in the world, hopefully a little bit closer, because Trombeck is in India and Halal is in the UK. Any of you guys that are here in the States that are Real Madrid fans and have something that maybe can help out jumping on the podcast occasionally as well, we can figure that out. So write me at info@inadamaspodcast. And that is it for this episode. Like I said, guys, good to be back. It's been a while. I've been really busy with work and I'm going to try to do this, you know, like I said, on a weekly basis is the most important thing. I can't promise anything else. I will do as much as I can to add some things here and there and continue on. But I thank you guys for, you know, helping me out, joining me, supporting, you know, for those of you that have listened, for those of you that have left comments, I really appreciate the support. You know, it's like I said, it's not an easy endeavor, but it's something that I love to do. So I'm going to continue doing it, and hopefully I can stay on track. You know, and that's the idea. So thank you very much for listening, and I'll talk to you again soon. A la Madrid.
This has been Y Nada Más, al Real Madrid Podcast.